This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An estimated 1.3 million salaried workers in America not eligible for overtime pay soon start getting time and a half. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. New rules covering overtime work are now official and set to go into effect the first of the new year. Time and a half pay for overtime will then be required not just for hourly workers, but for salaried workers who make up to $35,500 a year, give or take. Right now, salaried people lose overtime at $23,600 a year. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on how employers will adjust.
In late 2016, a judge blocked an overtime rule from the Obama administration that would have boosted pay substantially to over 4 million workers, many more than the new Trump administration rule. Kara Govero is with Mammoth HR.
The number is just so much lower. It's not worrying employers, or at least not very much.
That's partly because many big retail chains have already boosted their managers' pay, says Craig Rowley at consulting firm Korn Ferry. So who's left?
The smaller retail chains, the family-held chains, maybe 20 stores, the family-held restaurants, too.
Those employers will have to start tracking the hours of some formerly exempt managers, which could hit morale, says employment lawyer Ryan Glasgow.
Being an exempt employee is a bit of a status symbol. They don't have to track their time.
He says employers will have to convince staff they aren't getting demoted. The employer's just complying with the law. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Amazon is launching a new healthcare clinic, an app, really, for some of its employees. It's a test. Amazon Care, it's called, is a pilot for Seattle Amazon employees only, and it'll allow them to video chat with doctors and more. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following this. How will it work?
Let's say you're an Amazon employee in Seattle and you sign up for this program, and then you get a sore throat. You could open up the app and message or video chat with a healthcare provider, like, say, a nurse practitioner. And if that provider says, like, well, I really need to do a test for strep throat, you could have a nurse come to your house or meet with you in a room on Amazon's campus. And then if you need a prescription for antibiotics, Amazon can send that to your pharmacy or deliver it to you. Obviously, this is Amazon we're talking about.
And are these doctors and nurses, where are they coming from? Are they on staff at Amazon?
They'll come from a family medicine clinic in Seattle called Oasis Medical Group. Amazon's partnered with that clinic. We don't know all the details, though, like whether Amazon will have access to its employees' healthcare records. We do know that the program isn't required at this point. It's opt-in.
And this is another effort by Amazon, the great disruptor, to get into healthcare.
Yeah, Amazon does have ambitions in the healthcare space. It bought the online pharmacy PillPack last year, and CNBC just reported that Amazon's working on earbuds that'll include health and fitness trackers. This particular program, though, is just for employees. You may remember last year Amazon partnered with JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway to start a nonprofit that would work on cutting healthcare costs for its workers and in general.
All right, Mariel, thank you. With an impeachment inquiry comes uncertainty, and stock prices dipped on those bulletins yesterday, recovering some. The Dow closed down 0.5%, minus 142 points. The S&P fell 0.8%. The Nasdaq yesterday down 1.5%. The S&P future this morning is down 0.2%. Bonds are down just slightly. The yield up on the 10-year note, 1.65%. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism. and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. In more than 40 states, people can lose their driver's licenses for things that are not about bad driving. Unpaid court costs, parking tickets, or missing a court date are some of the reasons that can lead to a suspended license. Now, some states like Mississippi and California are moving away from suspending licenses for unpaid fees. But there are other states like Florida, which has suspended 1.7 million driver's licenses, about 10% of all licenses in the state. WLRN's Nadege Green reports.
Marquise Mitchell got his license suspended when he was about 21 years old. He had two felony convictions, one stemming from his time as a teen in foster care and another from when he got into a fight after aging out of the system. As a result of those cases, he owed more than $4,000 in court costs and fines.
I would make small payments here and there.
But after he paid his basic living expenses, even with two jobs, he could not keep up with the payments to the courts. His driver's license couldn't be reinstated until those payments were up to date.
I never was able to kind of save up enough to address the fees in its entirety.
And the amount of money he owed increased over time. His unpaid fines were turned over to a collection agency.
I discovered that they'd accrued interest.
Besides interest, collection agencies can add late fees and administrative costs on top of the original amount. Mitchell is in a county where he was able to shave off some of the costs by doing community service.
We've created this system, or it was created long before I joined the legislature.
Republican State Senator Jeff Brandis has tried to change Florida's driver's license suspension laws for the last 4 years so that people wouldn't lose their licenses for issues unrelated to driving.
As we try to fix it, what you see is there's a lot of challenging hurdles to fixing it.
One of the biggest hurdles, Brandis says, is that the clerk of court and controller office budgets rely on the money collected through the fines and fees. Sharon Brock is the clerk of courts for Palm Beach County.
There has to be some teeth into the law, and the teeth is that if you do fail to pay, then yes, you will get your license suspended.
She says her office is following the rules set by state lawmakers. Larger counties in Florida, like Palm Beach, have programs for people to get their driver's license reinstated when they sign up for a payment plan. But if they miss a payment while on that plan, their license gets suspended again. In Miami, I'm Nadege Green for Marketplace.
I'm Dave Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.